Uta, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Tess. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, there seems to be an emergence of recognition towards the issue of mental health and medical students, but while this is bringing light to the problem, why do you think there hasn't been any real prevention for this issue?
Well, I don't think that's entirely the case. Like a lot of medical schools, they have support systems in place, or they're putting support systems in place. So, you know, I know, for example, Monash Medical School also has a kind of part of the curriculum, a looking after yourself sort of program. And here at UNSW, where I'm the well-being advisor for all our medical students, we have a very, you know, a very good working sort of student support system where I work very closely with faculty members and educators and administrators, and also the doctors on campus and off campus to help our students. So there is not that if nothing is done. It's more the research that we need to better understand what's actually driving the issue.
So how do these mental health issues impact on the work from doctors and medical students?
Well, I mean, there is also quite a bit of research already showing that if the doctor is sick, it doesn't pan out very well for the patient. So, you know, that's been well established in terms of both patient care and patient safety if doctors have mental health issues. So it's not good.
No, I don't think, do not think that would be a good thing. Now, you've mentioned before Dr. Stuart Slavin believes that a medicine culture is a result of the lack of attention to the problem and that teaching generic resilience programs are put into place. How effective are these programs and could they be changed at all?
Well, I mean, I think that was partly the point I was trying to make in the article. Kind of people see like the JAMA is a very well-respected journal where this recent systematic review and meta-analysis came out. So everyone's rushing to, you know, oh, my God, we have to do something. And then the editorial kind of pointed that out, that people then hastily put some kind of resilience program or yoga, meditating and all of these kinds of things in place. And in the same journal in JAMA, like the same issue, they had actually also systematic review of existing such interventions and how helpful they were. And sort of by and large, they, you know, there wasn't, like the evidence was so poor that they couldn't actually reach any conclusions. So I think it, I mean, it goes to my sort of initial point that unless we actually understand more about the problem, you know, like, for example, we need to know you know, what it actually is that causes the mental health issues in students before you can put any effective or targeted solution in place. And, you know, you need to also know, like, what kind of risks and vulnerabilities do students already bring with them? You know, we know also that very high-achieving individuals have particular personality traits, you know, perfectionism and high conscientiousness, that doesn't do well in very stressful situations. And, you know, then once we understand what students bring with them, we need to understand what actually happens throughout their training. What are the triggers? What are the risks? That and this could be the culture of medicine, as the editorial was, you know, laying out, where there has clearly been demonstrated harassment and bullying still quite prevalent, but it could also be the students. Like we've recently done some research that shows that students regularly undersleep. You know, so they're if you like, their health behaviors, as they're trying to get high marks and getting through the demanding medical course, they're actually neglecting often their own health in terms of having good sleep, doing exercises, etc. So, you know, we need to understand how all these things work in together to cause and maintain mental health issues over time before we can then say, okay, what we need is this kind of intervention at this point and this kind of intervention at that other point. I think that's what we need.
So these are all issues that are facing medical students. Is the same sort of experiences, do older people in the profession experience the same sort of mental health issues, or is this something that comes along with the student lifestyle?
No, I think people, like, there's already data out there to show that once you're a trainee doctor when you work in the hospital, that's already been well known that that's very stressful and there is a lot of mental health issues there. And in fact, the year before that, same group who just put out this article now about medical students had put one out about residents, which are that's young doctors, I think, in their second year at hospital, fresh out of med school, and how they have about 30% have depression and depressive symptoms there. So, you know, we know that it's happening in young doctors already, but I think that it is actually happening already in medical school. That's kind of the newer news, if you like, because people didn't think that med school itself was already that stressful.
Well, Uta, it is an incredibly important issue. Thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Okay, thank you for having me.